Welcome to Frequency Matters, the RF and Microwave Update Series. I'm Pat Hindle. I'm here with my co-host, Gary LaRude. This episode, we're going to take a look at our June Aerospace and Defense Supplement. The cover story is great, written by BAE Systems, and they review simultaneous transmit and receive, or STAR, technology. And they kind of take a historical look at what's been done, and then they talk about some of the current programs they're working on. A lot of them are DARPA-funded, so great summary of the technology to read.
Yeah, we hear a lot about it in terms of communications, but this was good because it provided an aerospace and defense focus.
Yeah, it's really hard. It seems like isolation is the issue that has to be overcome. There are some commercial systems out, but still nothing industry-wide that's available.
Right.
So what did we have for other articles?
Well, we had four other articles from Roden Schwartz, an interesting look at detecting and then disarming UAVs. And they look at it from an environmental perspective, sort of the link budget and the geometry. That was interesting. Then from Pervisis, we had an application note on using software-defined radios for spectrum monitoring. A special report from Keysight on some of the measurement challenges for millimeter wave satellite links. That satellite link makes some extra challenges for measuring. And then our editorial review board had a very interesting article on a high-power waveguide combiner at X-band that'll handle more than a gigawatt.
Wow.
Those are the four in addition to the cover feature.
So speaking of satellites, the product feature was from MVG, and they have a new fast spherical near-field antenna measurement systems for satellites. And it's a multi-probe spherical system that fits around the unit, and it can test 10 to 100 times faster than the current methodologies being used. So a real big improvement in speed there.
Interesting.
How about the tech brief?
Well, the tech brief, we have one from Fairview Microwave, dual ridge or double ridge waveguide components that cover various bands from 6.5 up to 40 gigahertz. So that's of interest. And before we leave our articles, I wanted to just make a plug for our viewers. If you're not already a subscriber for Microwave Journal, you can get access to these articles and all the archives for free. If you're involved in the RF microwave industry and are not a subscriber, subscribe. You'll find a way to subscribe on the website. And thanks to our advertisers, it's a free subscription.
Can't beat that.
That's right.
So turning to the news, Ericsson released their 5G mobility report, and it stated that there'll be more than a half a billion 5G subscribers by the end of this year.
Wow.
The sign-up rate is 1 million per day right now.
Wow.
So that kind of confirms what everybody was saying, that 5G will be the fastest adopted generation of cellular technology. And then they look out 5 years to 2026, and they estimate 3.5 billion 5G subscribers, covering about 60% of the population. And by then, we'll be ready to start 6G.
Exactly.
What did you see in the news?
An announcement from Samsung Electronics that they've announced a new 8-nanometer silicon process for single-chip RFICs. Their prior generation or current generation is 14 nanometers, so they're going from 14 to 8. And they say this gives them a 35% increase in the output power from their devices, as well as a 35% die shrink.
Wow.
So they're looking for volume applications inside mobile phones and other high volume consumer products.
Yeah, in the past, I think silicon nodes for RF were always the old ones that were used, but now people are starting to use the more newer versions to really get high performance, so it's great to see.
Yeah, I was under the impression that typically the 20 plus nanometer nodes were better suited for RF, but obviously Samsung is down at 8 nanometers now.
So turning to events, we just returned from IMS 2021 in Atlanta, Georgia, the in-person portion, kind of the kickoff of trade shows. We are back in business now, I think, on the road. Of course, attendance was very light, but I think everybody was very satisfied with the results because the people who were there were really serious about doing business. So all the conversations were very high quality and all the industry participants were very happy with that. And if you missed it and you weren't able to attend in person or you didn't get around to everything, we just published 20 videos and we did both demos and interviews. So you can see those at videos.microwavejournal.com. And we also posted a photo gallery of about 75 photos, so you can catch up on who was there and who wasn't.
Right.
How about you for IMS?
I think there was a lot of camaraderie there. People emerging from their homes, their home offices to attend. I just had a real sense of people feeling like this was a new beachhead on the way to normalcy. I thought it was interesting, you know, we asked everybody, MTTS asked everybody to wear masks, and probably the first day of the exhibition, I would say it was 50-50. I don't know what your impression was, but the second day, nobody was wearing a mask. So it was a good event. I was very pleased to be there, felt fortunate to be able to go down.
Yeah, that was kind of my observation, too, from the company point of view at the booths. You know, some companies weren't able to fully participate if they were out of the country, so they had to have their domestic people man the booth. So TMY Tech couldn't completely fill their booth. They're from Taiwan, so they lent part of it to MixComm to put the other end of their 28 gigahertz signal that was beaming across the hall.
Yeah.
We saw Keysight supporting Virginia Diodes with a 144 gigahertz test setup for 6G applications, so that was cool. And also, a company like Amplion couldn't bring a full force, so they took a display in the corner of RFMW's booth. So I just thought it was great that everybody kind of made do as best they could with the circumstances.
Yeah, definitely.
And how about the T-shirt?
Well, we had a T-shirt, and I think we gave them all out. So there were enough people there to have them all disappear. We have the virtual event now. So not only the physical event, but we're starting the virtual event. So if you miss the physical event, you can get all the technical presentations and also the exhibition as well. So drop in the Microwave Journal website or booth, exhibition booth, and say hi to us next week.
Yeah, June 20th through the 25th, and then it's on demand for a full month until July 25th.
Right. Well, I think that's it for this episode. We want to thank our sponsor, RFMW, a pure play microwave, millimeter wave, and RF distributor. They represent the leading brands in the industry. And as Pat mentioned, they were very active at IMS because a number of their companies were not able to be present. So they were the hub of a lot of activity. Thanks for watching, and we'll be back for another episode after the 4th of July.